Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still. Where nature is harsh and demanding. Where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Could get in the guts, Barry. Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, Annie here for Showreel, 3CR's look at things happening in the Australian film and moving image industry. Today we're chatting with Vi Shi, who has just been announced as the recipient of the Screen Presence Trailblazer Award 2026, given by the Thriving Screen Initiative to an Asian-Australian trailblazer who is redefining the landscape of the film industry. V's debut feature documentary, Time and Tide, recently played to full houses at MIFF after premiering at the leading documentary film festival, Visions du Réel, in Switzerland. The short period since the film has premiered in Australia, winning the Sydney Film Festival Documentary Australian Award, and has become the first Australian film acquired by Paris-based international sales agent InWave Films. Today, first we chat with V about his film Time and Tide, and then with Lisa Wang, who is a film producer and the inspirational force behind the Screen Presence Trailblazer Award. They will be presented with the award tonight, that's Thursday the 27th, at an event being held at the Chinese Museum at 22 Cohen Place in Chinatown at 7 p.m. If you want to get a ticket, it costs $20. You can go online and get that ticket or do it at the door. The event includes a masterclass with Vi Shi and his collaborator, producer and cinematographer, Nicholas Wren. As I said, tickets are $20.
So thank you very much, Vi Shi, for taking some time to have a chat with me and Lisa, who's we'll talk to in a minute. Your film is Time and Tide, as your father says, Time and Tide waits for no man, which is a fascinating little quote from your father, is a fantastic film. Tell me about how you persuaded your relatives to be so candid in the creation of this documentary?
Well, there wasn't actually any persuasion at all. It was actually a very easy process because I feel like I think in hindsight, I just realized that because I hadn't been home for like such a long time. Like I have been on my own since I was 13, and I spent like just kind of, as I said in the film, I spent like 2 months in total with my parents in the span of like 20 years. And so they were just so thrilled that I was going to be home for like the whole month making the film. So there was like zero hesitation on their part.
So were they aware of filmmaking techniques at all?
I don't think they were. Like, I didn't tell them like the story or what I was capturing. All I said to them was that I just wanted to film like your life, and then I'm just going to put like a camera there and we're just going to capture what your life is, and then we had to mark them up. So, and then that was like in the first few days, I had to tell them not to look at the camera. So they, once they got used to that, everything went so smoothly.
People forget, don't they? And I was really interested in So this is a collaboration with cinematographer Nicholas Wren. So I mean, I was calculating that in some of the shots, you actually just left the camera there and people performed in front of it without themselves thinking about it. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Nicholson did an amazing job in terms of just kind of being invisible. So what we usually did was that once we set up the camera, we actually have an iPad that could monitor what was happening. And then we would just kind of let it run for hours. So the footage that we got was over 70 hours and we cut it down to about 99 minutes worth of film.
Yeah, extraordinary. Because and that goes into the actual telling of the tale. Because I was thinking, there's actual shots. Did you actually go and get some pickup shots where? Because there's some elements where you're outside, where you move the camera down, and also you're following a person doing something in the street. Did you decide that you would do those pickup shots later?
Yeah, we did have to do a few pickups just for like. As a film, as a narrative, we kind of needed those transitional shots. So those ones were staged. And then also a year later, after I edited the film for like a year, I realized there were elements that were missing. So I actually went back a year later and did more pickup shots. So the opening of the film, probably the first 3 to 4 minutes, they were primarily pickup a year later. And I went back just on my own.
It's amazing. But part of that's just not from a filmic point of view. I just found the light touch. It's compelling and apparently simple, but quite clearly quite complex. That's what I'm really getting at, because there's a lot of filmmaking going on in this film. And also it's very personal too. So for you as a filmmaker, you know, I mean, you're in second person making a film, but you're also exploring yourself, aren't you, in this film?
Yeah, 100%. And it's something that I wasn't aware going into like making of the film. Like, I mean, the intention initially was just to make a good story. And then as I was making the film, I realized I was kind of getting to know my family. And then by the end of the film, I had a relationship with my family that I didn't really have before. And that was a personal journey that was probably not evident in the film, because the film was more about my parents. But I just kind of grew so much as a filmmaker and as someone, you know, like as part of the family, I think.
And the other thing that I found really fascinating, and I think a lot of Westerners will find really fascinating, is you insert devastatingly powerful facts as you go along, but you don't spend any time on them. You just say them. Like, for example, you were 13 when you lived alone in Australia, and then you move on. And so your mind goes, oh, my goodness. And then I'm thinking about that. And then we move on. And you do. And the same with your sister, your second sister. We had to give you to another family. And you're going, oh, my God, this is a whole big thing. And I'm thinking about the incredible resilience of your people.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's a really good point, because that's actually, like, when I wanted to tell that story, the intention of me making that film initially was because I did feel like my parents went through so much, but then they never dwell on any of those facts. Like, life just kind of moves on. That's how I felt. Like, life's kind of just moved on. And then the initial intention was about this son coming home trying to impart change. But then by the end of the film, you realize there's really little you can do about life. And I thought that was kind of something that I wanted to express. And then also a lot of things that happen in my parents' life and in our lives, I feel like doesn't matter how dramatic they are, like they never kind of define who we are. Like, we kind of just, that's like one facet of our life, but there's like such a larger sort of complexity in terms of how family dynamic works.
There's also a larger element to this, the exploration, like your father takes you to the village that your parents came from. That really was revealing too for about the very modern history of China. They moved from one milieu into the urban life. And the city that they're in is actually a little city, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I was really surprised and glad that my dad's village was still there, because
Yeah.
every time I went back to China, I thought that it would be gone. And then, so I was really glad I was able to capture that, because some of the buildings that had been there for like over like 100 years. So that was really incredible. And then you've got these kind of urban center that just been built in the last sort of decades, but that it's very gentrified in just that particular area. And we could drive like 5 to 10 minutes, and you could see these kind of small village that's been there for like hundreds of years. So that contrast is really interesting. Also, it's very China.
Yeah, I know. That's it. See, my nephew married a Chinese girl, and we went to her village. It was near Xi'an, but it's the same size as the town I was brought up in, right, in Warrnambool. So it was like 30,000 people, 30,000 people in China, and so you get these all these differences. So I and when you did the street scenes, people in the street, this like in space. That was my impression of being in China as well, that people in space and that fantastic thing where they're doing dances to those to the music in the street. The same thing happened in Xi'an. I'm watching these people doing these duvalakis in the street and I think, oh, this is a real thing going on here. It was great the way you, I mean, it's an education to people about the life of people in their everyday life. It's great.
Yeah, no, thank you. Like, I think the dancing group really changed my mom's life. Like, she found a community there, but also like health-wise, she used to get a lot of migraines, and then she said that ever since she started doing dancing, like her health was kind of just so much better.
The joy of it.
Yeah, absolutely, both like physical exercise, but also that, the joy that a community can bring to you.
The fact that there are underlying pressures within the family dynamic surface, and I know actually it was quite traumatic to watch at the end, which is of course, but from a filmmaker's point of view, I mean, it's horrible from a person who's a part of the family, but from a filmmaker's point of view, you must have thought, oh my God, it's gold.
Yeah, that was like a contradiction that I had. Like, I was experiencing it, and obviously I was really affected by it. I was crying, but then at the same time I was thinking, I hope Nicholson gets all of these, because that is, what makes this film.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it's fantastic because it's a long lead. It's a long lead all the way to this final, where everybody needed to actually, and your poor sister, she tried so hard. It's so,
Absolutely. No, I love her so much.
And then the thing that I was really, the ending, where people came together and did the burial. As I was saying to Lisa, I was really fascinated by the way the burial was a village inspired, like possibly hundreds or if not a 1,000-year-old cultural experience, that process of burial.
Yeah, that was something that I had not experienced before. And then there were actually a lot of protocols that we had to go through. So we had to kind of take my dad to where he grew up. Like, that's our village. So everyone in that village has the same last name, which is my last name, Shi. So we had this ancestral hall that my dad was there for about 3 days. So we kind of had to accompany him, and people come visit, pay their respect, and then you kind of depart from the ancestral hall, and then you kind of walk through the whole village, so to kind of say goodbye. And then there were other things. For instance, like, I had to be, as a son of the family, I had to be in the middle. I was the only one who could actually hold my dad's portrait. And then there were other things that, like, we had to like wear different colors as son and daughters. And then so I had to wear like certain things. And then I've got two sisters that couldn't make it to China because they were in London, and then they couldn't get visa to China in time. So we had these other things that we had to kind of hold, so that represents family members that weren't there. So that like the whole thing, it is this thing that's been passed down for like hundreds of years, was something that I was completely unaware of.
Yeah, and the drama of the white clothing is.
So the people who attended the funeral, they had to wear that, and then my mum and my sister, they had to wear something else made of like different fabrics, and they also had to, like, my mum had to cover her face, so that was like all part of the protocol, and you had to cry as well.
Fascinating stuff. Looks sad. And I notice that your next project is a feature, and it's a fantasy horror called Skin, which might be beautifully nuanced by your Chinese culture, hopefully.
No, I'm so excited about that one. It's a Chinese mythology, but that's going to be set in contemporary Australia.
Fantastic stuff.
We know you love listening to 3CR, but we also know that many of you haven't downloaded the Community Radio Plus app yet.
The app lets you tune in anywhere and share the station with your friends.
So, show the love and share the love and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
You're on 3CR, Showreel with Annie. We're chatting with Vi Xing, recipient of this year's Screen Presence Trailblazer Award 2026. Now we're going to go and to have to end the chat with Lisa Wang, who is the inspirational force behind this award.
So we're going to introduce Lisa Wang now. G'day, Lisa.
So thank you for having us. It's really wonderful, Annie.
So the reason for why Lisa Wang is here is because, Vi Xing, you've just been awarded the 2026 Screen Presence Trailblazer Award. And your group, you are the person behind this Trailblazer Award. Can you explain to my listeners what it's about?
Yes, well, Screen Presence is the group that I formed in 2023 to amplify and encourage and inspire and celebrate, you know, Asian Australian filmmakers and practitioners to help them get into the industry and have a seat at the table like everyone else. And so when each year we choose somebody to represent us, and this year it's Vi Xing because he's just an amazing filmmaker. He's won awards, heaps of awards, and he was a screen producer one to watch. His film Jar, which we're going to show tomorrow at this event we're having to celebrate, he won the Screen Producers Australian Short Film of the Year, and lots of other things that it'll take, you know, the whole interview to mention. And he's also, you know, I think you were in the accelerator program at MIF, and so as well as, you know, trying to forge a career for himself, he's also a development executive with Big and Little Films, which is a task in itself. He's got features and other things coming up, and his other film that he's talked about. So I don't know how he manages to do all this. I know he's not a great socialite, because when he was cutting Time and Tide, I'd try and get him along to Screen Presence. He goes, "No, I've got to go home and cut. I've got to keep editing my film." And I think he disappeared for about a year and I didn't see him surface for a while. So, you know, a lot of labour and love went into that film, and I just love it. I love everything about Vi Xing. So, so then he's getting the award tomorrow night at our event at 7 o'clock at the Chinese Museum. Oh, it's actually tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, tonight.
It's tonight at the Chinese Museum at 7 o'clock until 9:30. And at the same time, we'll be giving a masterclass about documentary making with his partner and producer, Nicholson Mann, who's a very talented cinematographer. We're going to sort of go behind the scenes as well, which I don't think anyone's really done in the depth that we're going to do, and talk to Vichy all about that, and Nicholson. So, yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of fun, mainly.
Oh, I think
anyway,
so too.
So,
I think so too, because, like you said, V is not just like not just a director, screenwriter, but you're an editor and a producer. So you're the whole kit. So if somebody wants to understand how to actually approach making a film, going to a workshop of this sort would be a gold. It's gold, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Hear from them yourselves, because even I'm there to learn. And I've been making documentaries since 1998. So I'm going to learn from them too. So it'd be wonderful.
Do you think that there is a barrier for Asian descent Australians in the film industry that requires, auspicing in this way particularly?
Yes, that's why I founded this organisation. It's really to accelerate them through the up into the industry and through the industry. So, for example, I started in 34 years ago, and there was no one that looked like me. And then I didn't know where to go for help, because Asians are like, you don't ask for help and you don't want to create trouble and you don't want to be seen, actually. So it was a conflicting thing. But
not only that, you're a woman as well.
Oh, yeah, forget that. And it wasn't really until I worked on Tony, Matchbox Films, Benjamin Law's The Family Law, that I felt how great it was to have Asians in front and behind the camera. And I thought, but it's taken so long. I thought it would be faster than this as I was growing through the industry. And I went, oh, somebody's got to do something. And I went, well, I'm the only one who can do it, because I'm probably one of the oldest, who could actually do something. So, I've been, as I do my series or whatever projects, so we did White Fever, which was on the ABC, and we brought a lot of people from Screen Presence up and through it. And that's something we try to do. We try to connect people into the industry, give them advice. Sometimes just getting some advice gives you the ability to make the right decision, not one that's, an informed decision of what you want to do with your career. Mm. So, it's for all levels of people, whether they're emerging or they're intermediate or they're someone like B or even, people like Matthew Chong. We gave him the Screen Presence Trailblazers Award.
It's at the Chinese Museum, which is a lovely place. It's just in that square near Little Bourke Street. It's a lovely place.
So yeah,
you have to do with it that, is. Don't you?
Yes. My brother's the CEO of the Chinese Museum, and it was his fault that I got involved in all this.
Oh, well, it's a good family thing to do. So we'll just the event is Thursday, the 27th of August, 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and it costs $20. So go online and check it out. Thank you for spending some time with me, you two.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Annie.
That's it for Showreel this week. Coming up next is Published or Not.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.